This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
If the Arabs had a prophet, and if this prophet is Ibrahim, and Ibrahim is teaching Tawheed, where did paganism come from? Simple question. Ibrahim is upon Tawheed, one God. He doesn't have idols. Ismail, one God. Where does paganism come from? Our Prophet ﷺ told us, so then we have a historical fact because our Prophet ﷺ said it. Our Prophet ﷺ told us when and where paganism began and how it began. Hadith is in Sahih Muslim. He said, I saw Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. He mentions one person. Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i wandering around in the fire of hell with his entrails cut open behind him. I mean, it was a very severe punishment. I saw Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i being punished in a humiliating manner. Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, he was the first to baddala deen Ismail. Notice he said deen Ismail. Ismail's religion. Ibrahim and Ismail, they had a deen. They had a religion, that is Islam. The first person to change it was Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. And he was also the first person to introduce superstitions. Allah says in the Quran, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَحِيرَةٍ وَلَا سَائِبَلَةٍ وَلَا وَصِيلَةٍ وَلَا حَامٍ. These are four types of animals, and I haven't even memorized them because they're so complicated. If the seventh female of a seventh female camel is born, these types of weird superstitions. In other words, if you have the second male from a third female, something like this weird permutation, that particular animal has to be killed for the gods. So you work out superstitions, you work out charms, you work out all of these paganistic stuff. He was the one who began this. And it is narrated that Amr ibn Luhay traveled to Syria. And the Syria, they had the Amaliq, the Amalekites, the Amaliq. And the Amalekites are mentioned in the Old Testament. And they are an ancient civilization. And they are a civilization, the Old Testament calls them of giants, meaning they were tall people, and they had structures, and they had a civilization. And when he visited the Amaliq, the Arabic is called Amaliq, in English or in Western languages called the Amalekites. When he visited the Amaliq, he found them worshipping idols. And he found them to be this powerful civilization. So he said, what are these idols? So they said, these are our sources of power. When we're in drought, when we're in hunger, when the enemy attacks, we pray to these idols and miracles happen. So he said, can you gift me one of these idols? I'll bring it back home. I want to take it back. So they gave him an idol by the name of Hubal. And so Hubal became the first idol of the Arabian Peninsula, and it also became the main idol of the Quraysh. And that is why, hundreds of years later, in the Battle of Uhud, when Abu Sufyan thought that they had won, he screamed out, "U'lu Hubal! Hubal has won!" Because he's fighting against the Muslims. He mentions the idol that Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. Hubal has won. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, respond back to him. Don't let this go by. Respond back to him. So Umar ibn Khattab said, how do I respond back? So the Prophet ﷺ said, say that, Allah is our protector and you have no protector. Allahu maulana wala maula lakum. Now the point being that Amr ibn Luhay brought back this Hubal and he put it in front of the Kaaba, and this was the first time that paganism started. It is also said that Amr ibn Luhay changed the talbiyah for Hajj. And some people say it was changed a few generations after him. So what was talbiyah? What is talbiyah? We all know talbiyah. We should know talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. This is what we say when we go for Hajj. What does labbaik mean? Labbaik means, I am responding, O Allah. I'm answering the call. Why? Because Allah, from the time of Ibrahim, Allah announced Hajj. وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. There's an adhan for Hajj, calling people for Hajj. So there's an eternal call, come do Hajj. When we go do Hajj, we say, labbaik, I'm responding to the call. I hear the call, labbaik. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was the one who began, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. When this guy Amr ibn Luhay came along, he changed it. He has to change it because part of the talbiyah says, labbaika la sharika lak. Well, he's changing the religion. There are sharik. Sharik means partner. There are sharik now. So he changed it, he modified it. What did he say? And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, that the Quraysh had a different talbiyah. What was their talbiyah? لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك. So far so good. And then they say, إلا. There's an إلا, except. This doesn't make sense here. What do you mean except? How can you have an except? You have no partner except. Except what? إلا شريكا هو لك تملكه وما ملك. Except for a partner who belongs to you. And you control the partner, and you control all that he controls. You have partners, but you're the big boss. That's according to them. Just like ancient Greek, ancient Rome, there's the big boss, Jupiter, Zeus, there's the big people. And then you have the minor gods. So the Quraysh invented this new fangled interpretation. Now, Amr ibn Luhay, when did he live? I tried a lot to do research about, can we find a date or not? And of course the reality is we're not going to find a date, because the Arabs did not record things in dates. The Arabs were like the ancient Chinese, they recorded things in occasions. The year when the elephant attacked, Aam al-Fil, right? This is how they record things. They didn't have a calendar. They didn't import the Roman calendar, they didn't import the Persian calendar. Of course they didn't believe in the Jewish calendar. Until Umar ibn al-Khattab began the Islamic calendar, the Arabs did not have a calendar. When you don't have a calendar, how are you going to demarcate dates? By big events. This was the year when we had that battle. So we remember that year. And then a few years later something else happened, so they'll remember that year. In between they can say 2 years after the big battle, 3 years before the incident of the elephant. This is how they would have dates. So obviously when it comes to translating when Amr ibn Nuhay al-Khuza'i lived, it is impossible for us to fully comprehend. However, what I did was I went back to figure out which generation did he belong to. And he belonged to a generation which is basically around the generation of Fihr, who is the original founder of Quraysh. So, assuming that every generation is around 40 years, 45 years, rough guess, Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i was in the first century of the Christian era. The first century of the Christian era. And our Prophet ﷺ was born in the 6th century of the Christian era. Right? 570 or so. This is roughly the date CE when he was born. We'll talk about that next week inshallah. The day and the year he was born and the Christian equivalent. Around 570, 571 CE of the Christian era, our Prophet ﷺ was born. So around 500 years before the coming of our Prophet ﷺ, Amr ibn Luhay introduces Hubal. So it takes 5 centuries of pure paganism to spread to all of Arabia. Now, question arises, how could one man single-handedly change the religion of Ibrahim and Ismail? This is a question that we should ask ourselves and benefit from in order not to fall into this trap. One man can change the religion of their forefather, Ibrahim and Ismail. How so? Allahu A'lam, but I think that we can summarize it in 2 factors. First and foremost, the inferiority complex that Amr ibn Luhay had towards the advanced Amalekites, Amalika. Because the Amalekites were a powerful civilization. They were a civilization that had history, writing, architecture, large buildings. They were known to be undefeated. And that's what the Old Testament also mentions, that the Amalekites are the feared. This is the nation that is indestructible. Everybody's scared of them. And they're described to be giants, meaning probably they're maybe 6.5, 7 foot tall, the average person amongst them. They're a generation, there's a group of people whom the world looks up to. So Amr ibn Luhay felt a complex that these are the mighty nation. We should take from them in everything. So, because the Syrian society, the Amalekites were so powerful, Amr ibn Luhay assumed they must be correct in everything. And it is very important that we take from this lesson things that we benefit from in our times. Simply because a nation is powerful doesn't mean it has the correct morality, the correct ethics, the correct theology. Simply because a nation has technology or civilization or architecture doesn't mean it is better in everything. Yes, it's better in some things, but not in everything. So here we have Amr ibn Luhay was so astounded that these Amalekites can never be defeated. They have this and that. Surely they must be upon guidance. So he took from them their theology. Now, suppose he did, who is he to be accepted amongst his people? Here we get to the second factor. So the first factor was that the Amalekites were considered to be so powerful and mighty. There's an inferiority complex. The second factor, Amr ibn Luhay was not just a lay person. He was the chieftain of Khuza'ah. Who is Khuza'ah? You remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned very briefly the history of Mecca for 500 years. Very briefly, just a few paragraphs. And we mentioned that the descendants of Ismail were for a period of time kicked out of Mecca. Until Qusay came and reconquered Mecca. Right? So, for this period of time, who was in charge? Khuza'ah. So, in a way, there's a matter of izzah here. The Quraysh did not introduce idolatry. Khuza'ah did. However, we say Quraysh followed them. So there's a negative there. But Quraysh did not introduce idolatry. Khuza'ah did. Khuza'ah is another tribe, not Quraysh. So Khuza'ah was in charge of Mecca, not the Quraysh. And Amr ibn Luhay was their chieftain. And this chieftain was considered to be one of the most respected chieftains of Arabia. And it is said that he had a lot of power, that he won a number of victories, that he defended Mecca against foreign invasions, that he was a generous man, so his people loved him. So when his people loved him, and he imported a theology, then the people followed. And we can add a third reason here, and that is that there must have been at least 2,000 years since the time of Ibrahim to Amr ibn Luhay. At least 2,000 years must have gone by between Ibrahim and Ismail and Amr ibn Luhay. So we have now, therefore, a long time where there's no guidance, there's no prophets, where the message of the prophets has become diluted, where ignorance prevails. And these are the three factors then. Number one, inferiority complex. You think that a civilization is better, everything must be right about them. Number two, the person who says it has credentials. He's prestigious. And number three, ignorance. Now wallahi, these three factors, we need to understand them right now as we speak in 2011. Because wallahi, our religion is being bombarded by a lot of people. And we have the exact same three factors. People are saying very strange things. People are wanting us to accept complete variations of our religion. Why? Wallahi, the exact same three things. Number one is inferiority complex towards another civilization, which might indeed be the most powerful technologically, militarily, might have the most civilization in some aspects, but that doesn't mean that morally, theologically, ethically, they are the leaders of the world. We have izzah through our Quran and Sunnah, and we have the truth, and simply because a nation is more powerful than us militarily, it doesn't mean that they are more closer to the truth than us. Number two, we have people with lots of credentials, people who are being promoted by others as being the reformers and whatnot, that these are the people we need to listen to. These are the Martin Luthers of Islam that we're being told, right? And they have, mashallah, PhDs and whatnot from the fanciest universities. And they have the gift of the tongue, and they have publications, and they are famous, and they're very intelligent. Just like Amr ibn Luhay was accepted. And number three, ignorance. The average Muslim does not know his religion inside out. And then when somebody comes and speaks in generic slogans, then it's very easy to be mesmerized. It's very easy to fall prey. And wallah, it might not be maybe as bad as shirk, but still, we're facing an onslaught of changing of the faith. And alhamdulillah, there are people that are talking about this and against this and correcting these misconceptions. But I think it's very pertinent to discuss these three factors of Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب.